Would you please rise to hear the word this morning? From Romans, I'm going to start in chapter 3, verse 20, and I'm going to read through 26 this morning. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there's no distinction. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And they're justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. And be seated. So Brian did a great job of recapping, and I was going to recap, so I'm not going to recap for you, right? You understand that God is God, and God's in control, and he loves you. And the question is, how do we experience the love that God has? How do we experience that love that God wants to pour out into our life so that we can become people who pour out his love into other people's lives? How do we experience it? Well, verse 20 starts off and it says, For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight. And yet so often, I struggle and I talk with people who struggle with this reality that they think, if I just do enough, God will love me. If I just do the right things, then God will be pleased with me today. If I just try a little bit harder, then maybe I won't feel so bad about not measuring up to what God has. My question to myself and my question to you is, how's that going? Do you find that you really can just pull the bootstraps on and pull them up a little bit higher and get to the end of the day and say, I feel good today? And if you do happen to get to the end of the day, does it happen to still be there the next morning? Or do you feel like, crud, I got to pull up the bootstraps again and I got to try harder one more time to try and make sure that I'm experiencing all the love that God wants and that I'm sensing that he's really pleased with me? And what I find for myself and what I find for most people as I talk with them is that it doesn't carry from day to day. And by the time we get the bootstraps pulled up as high as we can, it only takes about 5 minutes. And we realize that, wait, I need to do a little bit more. I need to try a little bit harder. And that sense of being righteous, of being okay, of being resting in God's peace just disappears. And that's exactly what Paul says. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. Now, we can't work hard enough to make God pleased with us. We can't work long enough that it will sustain us and carry us for any length of time. What we tend to do is, as we work hard, and instead of saying, is God happy with me, we work hard and we say, look, I'm better than that person. God must be happy with me because I'm better than them. I don't tell as many lies as they do. I haven't stolen as much stuff as they have. I certainly don't speak as many foul words as that person speaks. Right? And we try and find this righteousness not by looking to God, but by comparing ourselves with other people. And that doesn't bring life to anybody. It doesn't bring life to us, and it doesn't bring life to the people that we're comparing against, because they sense that same kind of judgmental comparison, even if we never say it. They can sense a self-righteousness there. And Paul's saying, we're not going to be righteous by comparing ourselves to other people. We're not going to be righteous by pulling our bootstraps on and trying a little harder. We're not going to get there. In fact, he says the whole point of the law, the whole point of all of the teaching that God gave in the Old Testament was so that we would understand how broken we are. For since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Right, the point of all of that teaching about holiness and righteousness, of do this and don't do that, and make sure that you don't break this commandment and pay attention to that commandment, all of that wasn't so that we would try harder. All of that teaching was given so that we would come to understand we're utterly broken people. We have a desperate, desperate need for a Savior outside of ourselves. That we can't do it. We can try, but we can't do it and we can't make it. And notice what he says. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Christ for all who believe. Now, Paul is saying, now in the New Testament times, since Jesus has come, there is a righteousness that exists that doesn't depend on you trying harder. And it doesn't depend on you comparing yourself to somebody else. There's a real righteousness that comes. Yeah, that's good news. That is amazing news because now we aren't dependent on creating our own sense of goodness with God. It's given as a gift. It comes by grace through faith in Christ. Paul is trying to help these people in the Roman church. And he says the same thing to the Galatians, right? He says the same thing to the Philippians. He says the same thing in every one of his letters. Quit trying so hard. Just rest in Christ. Just remember that Jesus has done what you need. He started it, and he's working it, and he'll finish it in your life. He'll do the work that he began, and he'll bring it to completion. Paul wants these brothers and sisters to understand that God's righteousness can't be manifested. It can't be drawn up by human power. It comes by a supernatural gift of God. He says specifically these words, it's been manifested apart from the law. And if you read the Gospels, whenever that word manifested shows up, it's almost always tied to Jesus. Jesus is the one who manifests God. So now the righteousness of God has been displayed or put out before you in Christ. It's come to you apart from the law. You don't have to do this anymore. It's been given to you so that the law and the prophets all were supposed to point you to see the one who comes and puts on display the kingdom of God, Jesus. All that's right and all that's good and all that God desires comes in Christ. It doesn't come by human effort. It comes by Christ. But the law and the prophets bore witness to it. The law and the prophets were all pointing us to Jesus. They were supposed to be saying, look, this is what God wants, and you can't get there. And nobody else can. But God still wants this. So keep looking to God to meet the need. Keep looking to God to bring forth a way in which everything that God desires for you will be brought to completion. And then rejoice on that day when it comes. That's what Paul's saying, that day's come. That day is here because now all that God desires has been put on display in the life of Jesus Christ. And the death and sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus and the way that Jesus fulfilled the law, the way that Jesus kept every dot and tittle, the way that Jesus thought about people, the way he pursued God with abandon, the way that he displayed love for the unlovable, the way that he walked up and touched the impure and said, be clean. You and I can't ever manifest that. We can't do that. We might get glimpses of trying to do it. We might see even the Spirit in us as believers putting more of that on display. And hopefully we do as we walk with Christ longer and longer, that we see more of the life of Christ actually being put on display. But even as we walk with Christ as a 100-year-old saint, there will still be plenty of opportunities to reflect on our life and realize we fall short. And so we look back to Jesus, who never fell short, who lived everything that God wanted from beginning to end, the righteousness of God, in completion, in total, in full, put on display for you. Now the righteousness of God is made manifest. And the righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. It just comes by simply trusting that what God says really is true. You can't do it, but God will do it for you. God will bring you to a place where everything that He desires will be worked out in your life by the power of Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say there's no distinction. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. This is the gift. This is the promise. It doesn't matter whether you're a male or a female. This is the gift. This is the promise. It doesn't matter whether you're a little one or a big one. Whether you're a young one or an old one. Whether you're a smart one or a not so smart one. It's the same promise. It's the same thing because every one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. We all can't make it. You remember when you were a kid, do you ever remember being in foot races with people? You were running, and you were running as hard as you could, and then suddenly that other kid seems to like have another burst of energy, and they can just get farther out, and you keep running, and you keep trying to keep up with them, and that works as long as you're only about this far away, but when they get as far away as the back of that wall, what happens? You just kind of quit, right? You just kind of slow down. You lose hope that you can make it, right? He gets the glory, and you've fallen short. You couldn't run fast enough. You couldn't try hard enough. And that's what Paul's trying to say. There's no distinction. It doesn't matter how you cut it, how you slice it, what division lines you want to use. Everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short of running that race in a way that we win. Because when Jesus ran that race, he's like miles ahead of me. I can't run hard enough to catch up with him, and you can't either. But the good news is you don't have to. Because you're justified by his grace as a gift. Now, there's an interesting thing to understand in this passage, and it tends to hold out in most passages. When we talk about righteousness, righteousness is a noun. And just or justified, to be justified is a verb. But they come from the same word. Right? When you're justified, you're righteous. When you're righteous, you've been pronounced justified. So Paul is telling us that we're justified. We're pronounced right with God as by his grace as a gift. And what do we know about gifts? They're free. Gifts come because somebody else looks at you and says, I want to bless you. Now, we come to think that gifts are an expectation, right? Birthdays come around and our kids expect that they're going to get a gift. Christmas comes around and expect you're going to get a gift. And wives come around to Valentine's Day, which incidentally, guys, is just a couple weeks away. This is your primer. This is your remember, right? Wives come around to Valentine's Day and they expect there's going to be a display of your love for them in some way, right? A gift, a nice dinner, a poem, whatever it is. They expect something's going to come. But that doesn't mean, it doesn't change that it's a gift. We begin to expect things, but really, when we get to that point, the reality is, when we're given a gift, it's because the other person took the time to sit down and think about us and realize, I want to give that person a blessing. And so they went out and they purchased something, or they made something, or they wrote something, or they colored something, whatever it is, right? They put their time and their effort and their resources into something that they then brought to you, and they said, here, give me $5 and I'll let you have it. No, right? He said, here, this is for you. It's a gift. It's a picture of grace. You don't deserve it, but I want to give it to you. I want to bless you. And you, in return, reach out and grab it and say thank you. And you take it and you open it up and you treasure it, because no matter how ugly the picture is, you think, wow, this comes from their heart. That's why every parent is able to receive the scratchy coloring lines from their children and put them on display prominently on the refrigerator, not because it's good art, but because it's a gift. And you can tell that in that little child, there is joy in granting that gift of grace to you. That's what God the Father does for you. In Christ, he says, you don't deserve it. You fell short. You might not even have tried very well. But I love you. And I want you to have the thing that will restore you to me. And it's called righteousness. It's called me looking down upon you and seeing that in Christ, everything that I desired has been met and fulfilled. You haven't fallen short, because Christ ran the race for you. And I'm granting you that. We're justified, we're pronounced righteous by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Now, it's interesting that that gift, just like any gift that your husband may give you on Valentine's Day, or your spouse may give you on an anniversary, or a friend may bring to you on your birthday, that gift has a cost. But that cost isn't borne by you. That cost is borne by them. And God bore the cost. And he bore the cost right here through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. To be redeemed means that something had to be paid. Something was spent so that you could be redeemed. In the ancient world, that word redemption was used when somebody was redeemed from captivity. They had been enslaved and taken captive in a war, and so you paid the enemy a chunk of gold or silver so that they could come home. That they were redeemed. It was used when you were transferring and trading things back and forth, right? You redeemed something, so I bought this from you, and Mark gave me whatever item it was that I was looking for. It was also used when you wanted to set a slave free. He paid the redemption money, the redemption cost, and in exchange got a writ of manumission that said he was now a free man, and he could go about and make his own life decisions without having to pay reference to another master. We were redeemed through Jesus Christ. He paid the cost. Pour out his life and cross, blood was spilt so that your sin could be covered. It cost the Father his only begotten Son. That's grace. Because I'm not sure that I love any of you enough that I would let my children be killed so that you could be saved. I love you. And I wish that I loved you that much, but I'm not sure that I love you enough to put my kids to death that you could live. But the Father loves you so much that he's willing to say, my son will pay the cost so that you can become my children too. And that's followed up with this next word. He pays the cost with Jesus Christ, whom he puts forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. We don't use big words like propitiation anymore. And thankfully, because I struggle to remember what they mean every time. But this is a really interesting word. Because if you translate, if you go to the Old Testament, right, there's a group of Old Testament translations called the Septuagint, which is a Greek version of the Old Testament instead of the Hebrew version. And in the Greek version, this word propitiation is the word that's used to refer to the mercy seat in the tabernacle. It's also the word that's used to refer to the blood that's sprinkled on the mercy seat in the tabernacle. Paul is trying to help us see that God put forward Jesus Christ. He paid and shed his blood so that he became the place where we could encounter God in mercy. And his blood became the blood that was put on the seat to cover sin so that we're okay. And not cover sin once like the Old Testament sacrifices, right? Where the Old Testament sacrifices were put on once each year, and so your sins were covered for that year until the next sacrifice the following year, and then you had to do it again. He's saying, no, Jesus is the propitiation that sin and that blood was spilled once and it's put on the seat, and God is at rest now with you. There's no longer wrath and anger toward your sin. It's covered. It's disappeared. As far as the east is from the west, right? As deep as the ocean, it's been buried. As far out into the outer space as you can go, it's been launched way out there, and he can't even see it anymore. It's gone. Through Christ. So how do you receive that? He says, by faith. You receive that by faith. You just trust that in Christ, God has worked it all out. That he's taken care of the whole thing, that it's done, it's finished. Doesn't depend on you anymore. Doesn't depend on others anymore. It just depends on God having done the work. And ultimately, Paul says, it was to show God's righteousness at the present time so that he can be the one that is just and the justifier of all those who have faith in Christ. See, the whole point of grace, the whole point of salvation was to put on display that you can't do it and God's going to do it all for you. Every bit of it. So you can't boast and you can't brag and you can't compare yourself to somebody else and say, see, I'm better than them. It's not you. It's God. He's doing the work for you. Now, that's supposed to ultimately drive us to want to be more like Jesus. Right? That's ultimately where we'll get to as we finish this 10-week series in 7 weeks from now, right? As we get to the end of this, of all the things we're supposed to believe, all the things that God wants us to understand, that drives us to live a life that's different. But if we try and live the life that's different without understanding who God is and what God's done for us, then we miss the whole point and we upend the order of salvation and we begin to live in a way that our salvation depends on us and it depends on our work instead of understanding that, no, our salvation depends on Christ and Christ's work. And all that I do stems because Christ is working in me and through me to change me so that I'm no longer myself, but that I have been bought with a price. And I belong to somebody else. And it's his work that's happening in and through me. That is the good news. I hope as you go home today, as you worship, as you think about it, as you find yourself out tomorrow and you begin to wonder, am I good enough? Just remember, God in Christ has done it for you. Let's pray. Holy Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the great gift of salvation by grace through faith. Lord, let us not forget it. I know how easy it is for me to forget and to fall into a works mentality. And I assume it's easy for my friends. Let us not forget. But let us sink deeply into the love of Christ. Let us be surrounded by all that He's done. Let us always remember to look to Him and see how hard and how fast and how long He ran. And let us rejoice that He got the prize. Every nation and every knee will bow before Him to the glory of the Father. For that we rejoice and we thank You. And all God's people said, Amen.